Here is one of Paul's, or rather this is Paul's smallest letter. It's not really a letter. I would give it the title Paul's Postcard. It's not big enough to be a book. It's barely big enough to be a letter. So it's probably aptly named Paul's Postcard. And when you write a postcard, you address it to someone. I mean, look at this passage. Who is this addressed to? Well, we find in verse number 1, it's addressed to a man called Philemon. There's not an awful lot about him in Scripture. Not too much details, but from the nature of this passage, we can deduce some very interesting facts about this man. He was certainly a man of God, and no idle Christian. Look at the words of verse number 1, just at the very end. He says, "Unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." Perhaps we call many Christians fellow Christians. But here's a man, he's called a fellow laborer. Because he's not an armchair Christian. He's someone who labors in the work of God. Someone who serves as Christ and as Savior. He's a fellow laborer in the work of God. And brothers and sisters, don't be scared to roll up your sleeves and work for the Master while the opportunity still permits itself. Life is passing by very quickly. And we don't know how long we have left in our life to serve Christ. It's only what we do for the Lord will last. So he was a man of God. He was a fellow laborer. He was also a man of great wealth because, as we're reading this passage, he had a servant. And it shows us that to those that are faithful to the Lord, by and large, the Lord will bless them. The Lord prospers the way of those who follow and serve the Lord. Just when I think about that, I was just happened to be reading this morning in the book of Exodus. And do you remember when the manna fell from heaven? And they were forbidden to lift anything on the seventh day, because that was a hallowed day. So they were told to lift twice as much on the day before the Sabbath. And you know, there's a lesson there. If we're faithful to the Lord, we'll not be the Lord's debtors. And he'll make up for us, even as we're faithful in the Lord's day, by not laboring, by not working, by not studying. The Lord will bless and prosper our ways gloriously. He was a man of God. He was a man of wealth. And we read from verse 2 here at the end, it mentions a group of Christians who were dwelling in his house. So he was a man of God who enjoyed the fellowship with God's people. And that's true that when we're saved, we enjoy the fellowship of those who are redeemed. It's important to choose your company wisely. Young people, getting into the wrong company can often be a means of causing you to fall. But here's a man of God, a man who was blessed of God, and a man who chose his company very wisely and very well. So that's who the postcard is addressed to, this man Philemon. But tonight, I don't want to focus on this man, Philemon. My concern isn't with a man of God. It's not with a man of wealth. It's not with a man who fellowship with God's people. It's not even about the pen man of the epistle. It's not about this mighty preacher called the Apostle Paul. This evening, I want to speak in another individual who's mentioned in this passage. He was no mighty preacher. He was no outstanding member of society. He was a nobody. A man of no importance whatsoever. I would say he was a man with sticky fingers. Everywhere he went, it seemed to be things stuck to his hand and he went away with them. What I mean by that is he's a thief. And he took things which didn't belong to him. This man was a cheat, and he was clearly despised more than he was loved. Here's the burden of the message. Maybe this is how you feel this evening. You know yourself, you're a sinner. You know you're a cheat. You know you're a liar. Truth be told, you feel more despised than you do loved. If that's the case, and maybe you also feel you're of no great importance, you're no great member of society. If that's how you feel, I want you to listen very intently. Because that's what this book and what this message is all about. The name of the man that I want to very briefly leave with you this evening, his name is Onesimus. And you see him in verse number 10. Verse 10 says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Now Paul is the pen man. He doesn't mean by birth, by blood, that Onesimus was his son. He calls him his son because he was the man who pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Onesimus was employed by Philemon, the man who received this letter. And no doubt, well, it's quite clear at least that he had no desire to be found in Philemon's house. He wanted to get out. He wanted to be free. No doubt he would have often have heard the message of the gospel in his time in Philemon's house. He would have been told of how he needed to be saved, how he needed to seek the Lord for salvation. But this man Onesimus, he had a problem. There was a hunger in his soul. There was a hunger in his flesh, I should say. There was a hunger to go out and try the things of the world. It's very evident that he heard the stories of Rome. He heard of the beauty of Rome. He heard of the pleasure, the vices, the lifestyle. He heard all the things that happens in the place called Rome, because that's where this man ran away to. In the very rebellious manner, and in the very corrupt way, this man packed his bags. He was a servant, as I said, of Philemon. But he packed his bags, filled them with stuff that doesn't even belong to him, and he ran off to the place called Rome. And there he was for some time. And you know, I meet many young people, and it's their greatest desire to get out of the restraint of their homes, to get out of their houses, to get out from under the restraint of their parents, of their church. They often hear the message of the gospel. They're often told that they need to be saved, but they grow weary of it. And it's their only dream, their only desire, just like Onesimus here, to get out into the world. They've heard the stories of the glamour. They've heard of the lifestyle. And they long to get out into the world. Yet I also know very many who did exactly that. They left the restraints of their house, their home. They ran into the world. And they found, surprisingly to them, that it wasn't what they thought it would be. Sin had no joy. The pleasures were no excitement whatsoever. But it was only death and destruction to their souls. And here's a man, Onesimus, it is clear. And he ran away from this house where he was so blessed and treated, hearing the gospel. But it's very evident, we can deduce from the passage at least, that things didn't go all that well. You see, something happened to Onesimus. He heard the message of the gospel. He met a man called the Apostle Paul. And I wonder how he met the Apostle Paul, because, as I'll show you in a moment or two here, Paul was in prison. How did Onesimus meet him? Was he also in prison? Was he chained beside him? I don't know. We're not told. Nevertheless, it's clear that things weren't going very well for Onesimus. But then he met a man of God. And things changed. Because the light of the gospel shone in. And this soul was transformed. and this man trusted in Christ. I want to just list in the next 10, 15 minutes several things which happened to this sinner. Several things which happened to this sinner. The first one is this. This sinner was purchased. Look at verse number 10 with me here. Verse number 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. See, Paul was a prisoner. And he's speaking here about this man, Onesimus. Paul was bound to a house. If he was going to leave the house, he would have been bound to a soldier, a centurion or someone. He would have been bound to someone. So he was in bonds. And while he was in bonds, he was the instrument which the Lord used to point Onesimus to Christ. Here was a man who was used to see this man brought into the kingdom of God. It was when Paul was suffering, he had the joy of leading this man to Christ, this man Onesimus. And these are solemn words, for straight away they remind me of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can be begotten. We can be born again. We can be purchased only through Christ, who wasn't bound by chains. Rather, he was bound by nails to a cross. And while he was in Calvary's tree, what was he doing? He was suffering and he was dying so that men, women, children could be begotten, could be born again, could be saved, could have their sins washed away, and could be gloriously brought into the kingdom of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us with a lively hope. Onesimus was a man who was full of sin, a rebel, a runaway, a thief. Many sins are listed here about him. But you know, it's the same verse for everybody. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. That was said to a man called Nicodemus, a religious man. A man who had attended God's house. A man who would have, well, he would have attended a synagogue. He had his own religion. He was a religious man, but yet he had to be born again. Here's a man, Onesimus. He's a runaway. He's a thief. The message is the same to him. Except the man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. It is clear that when Paul met this man, Paul didn't talk nonsense to him. Paul preached the gospel to this man, Onesimus. That's clear by inference. This man was saved. Why? Because he was presented with the gospel and Christ brought him to himself. Paul taught him the gospel and obviously came with such power to a burdened soul that he bowed before the Lord, repented of his sins and came to Christ. Here's the point. There was a moment in this man's life where things dramatically changed. Once he wanted to flee away from the restraints of the gospel. He wanted to get away from this church that was in the house of Philemon. Now he finds himself confronted with the gospel again. This time he changes. He was saved. Let me ask you, have you ever in your life had that time when you have knelt before the Lord and you asked Him to save your soul? Has there ever been that moment in your life when you've trusted in Christ? I want to warn you tonight. If you're not trusting in the Lord, if you haven't bowed the knee, if you haven't asked Him for forgiveness, friend, you will perish in hell. Listen to me, please. There must be a point in your life, like Onesimus, where you're confronted with the gospel of Christ and you're transformed. That's called being purchased by Christ, being begotten, being born again, being saved, being converted, whatever word you want to use. It's a change in your life. And Onesimus was a man who was purchased. But this sinner was also a man who was made profitable. Look at verse number 11 here. Verse 11 of Philemon says, which in time past, he's referring to Onesimus, which in time past was to me unprofitable. Unprofitable. He was a useless sort of a boy. That's the gist of the words here. He was unprofitable. He was no good to the work of God. Everything that he did just essentially disappeared. And you know, you might just be like him. Everything you do is unprofitable. Friend, you may live your life working hard, cultivating riches. You may be studying. You may be doing whatever your life, working at every opportunity given. But friend, you're being unprofitable. Because one day all your works will burn. All your works will evaporate and disappear. It's only what's done for Christ will last. Listen, you can study in college all you want, and it's good to study. You can labor day in, day out, and it's good to work and earn a wage. But let me tell you, everything you do will be unprofitable if you're not doing it to the glory of God. Why would you spend 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years in this world working with your hands, laboring in this world to die and leave it all behind? This man was unprofitable. And I apply it to you like this. Your life is unprofitable if you're not saved. Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please Christ. That's the only thing that's important to you in this life. It's pleasing the Lord. He's going to be your judge. He's your maker. He's the one who's given you life. He's the one to whom you owe absolutely everything, your every breath, your every day, your every moment. And He's the one you'll stand before. Would you dare? And I hope I don't sound like I'm scolding people here. I'm just passionate for your souls, friends. Would you dare to spend the rest of your life rejecting the God who made you, absolutely focused, completely consumed by what you can cultivate in this life, and forget about the God of salvation, who died upon Calvary's tree to save the souls of men and women? This man was unprofitable. Verse 11 says, which in time past to Lee was unprofitable, but to now profitable to Lee and to me. Why? Because he was saved. He changed. His life changed. His labor changed. His walk changed. His work changed. Now he's living for the glory of God. And doing everything for the cause of Christ. He's living for the Lord. This was a sinner who was purchased. This was a sinner who was made profitable. It was also a sinner who was given a permit. Look at verse number 12 here. Verse number 12. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is mine own bonds. You see, Paul sends this letter and Onesimus to Philemon's house. And he says to Onesimus, listen, receive this man as my own bowels, as if he was me. Onesimus had dealt wickedly, immorally, dishonestly, criminally, sinfully, corruptly toward this man, Philemon. So he knew in his heart he would never ever again enter into the house of Onesimus, the place where he would be blessed, the place where he would be kept safe. Yet, he ran off, and he was excluded from this man's house because of his sin. You know, maybe that's just like you this evening, and you know that. You're a sinner. And you know God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will certainly not accept you into heaven because your hands are stained with sin, iniquity, criminality, deceitfulness, ungodliness, sinfulness. Just like Onesimus, you know there is no way you'll be able to return into the house where you'll be blessed again. Where you'll know the hearing of fellowship with God's people. He ran away. He left himself. He left fellowship with the people of God. As soon as we're born, that's what we do. We go into the world and we reject Christ. But you know, this man Onesimus was permitted again to enter into the company of God's people. Why? Because Paul said, "Receive this man as myself." Do you know the only way you'll ever get into heaven? The only way you'll enter into the family of God? It's by coming through Christ. It's by trusting in the Lord. Philemon would only enter into the house of Onesimus would only enter into the house of Philemon only when he had the authority of Paul on his side. You see, Onesimus knew that Philemon would never turn Paul away from his house. And my friend, let me tell you, if we go to heaven in the name of Christ, we'll not be cast away. We'll not be thrust out. It's a joy to know this. If you're saved, you're dressed in the robes of Christ. I want to say something very bold here. You have as much right to be in heaven as Christ does. Because Christ bought you. And he purchased you. And he dressed you in robes. Which will give you the joy of entering into heaven. But if you're not saved, how can you ever enter into God's eternal rest? You can only face God's damnation. That's the fact of the matter. There's other things about this man. He encountered the providence of God. We bless the Lord that often in his own providence he speaks to men in marvelous ways. And perhaps, you know, there's been times in your life when you have heard the Lord in strange and providential ways. Speaking to you, perhaps someone giving you a tract. Someone speaking a message which is exactly the word you need to hear. Someone whispering a word in your ear. That's God's providence. Here's a man, and he went to the city of Rome, and he met Paul. A massive city, yet in God's providence he met Paul. This was a sinner who encountered providence. This was a sinner who entered a new position. Onesimus was gloriously converted and brought into the family of God, welcomed in and kept in for all eternity. If you were to pass away tonight, I want to ask you very bluntly and pointedly, would you enter into God's eternal rest? You see, Onesimus, just as we close here in conclusion, Onesimus could leave Rome. And he had a letter in his hand. He would return back to his former master's house, Philemon, with a letter in his hand. And that letter would be the very thing that would allow him in to his master's house. Friend, when you enter in through death's dark doors, you enter into the gates of heaven. Are you coming empty-handed? Are you coming in the robes, in the blessings, in the merits of Christ? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet God? Have you come to the Lord? Will you be like Onesimus this evening? Will your path be turned around? Men and women, I would urge you not to leave this house unless you know for sure that you are right with God and that you have met him before you meet him after death.